I am loving you, and I reconnect. And I reconnect all that I am. All that I am in the light that knows. In the light that knows. The light that knows. The light that knows. The light that sees. The light that sees. Let there be a sweet harmony. Let there be a sweet harmony in all of my being. In all of my I hear that sometimes I have a reality shift, and sometimes I'm totally me, a little I, and then all at once I'm all things. All at once it's no longer singing about me, it's the source itself. It's the source in the one leaf saying, I am this whole tree, I am all that is. And the leaf becomes totally aware of what the tree is. Because the tree has always shared its consciousness with that leaf. It's never been separate from it. Only the leaf needs to share a separate awareness of itself so it can wave at the other leaves and be receiving of them and see itself reflected in them. Create that sweet harmony. And I hear the source singing that to us this morning. I'm loving you, and I reconnect, and I reconnect all that I am, all that I am. I'm the light that knows. I am the to be a sweet harmony. Let there be a sweet harmony in all of my being. Let there be a sweet harmony in all of my being. Amen. Wonderful. She was walking down the road one day and she heard this, had this four-letter word in it, three-letter word that's sort of an in word nowadays, paradigm. Paradigm shift. So she's not one to just pick up a word because it's in vogue, you know. I might do that, but not Carolyn. So she come back singing about this new paradigm. Why don't you sing about the new paradigm? It's got a strange little beat to it. She was walking, she said.
Creating a new paradigm, bringing a new dimension in time. Let's leave the old behind and bring in the new. Make no mistake, this is what it will take. Walk over to your cliff and learn.
seeing a new dimension in time. Let's leave the old behind and bring in the new. Make no mistake, this is what it will take. Walk over to your cliff and learn to fly.
Come on with me
now.
I will tell you why. Maybe I'll wait
for you to make a break.
Come on and
make a break. The great impossibility of man is the realization of his divine awareness. This is what he struggles against. It's what he opposes. It's what he resists. But it's happening in his consciousness. And he really, if you'll believe it, came into the earth plane, into the three-dimensional world, into the form world, to help himself make the breakthrough. The breakthrough is manifest in the three-dimensional form world, bringing a new dimension in time, right? Bringing a new dimension in time. We're not repeating something that started somewhere else. We're not repeating an event that worked better at an earlier date and now we're improving on it. No. Every previous event came in order to pass. It came to pass. I don't know what the translators did in the King James Version, but they got that one right. It came to pass. That's why it came, so it could pass. It came so it could go on. So be unfolding. The wave comes on the beach and creates the undertow for the next wave to crest itself. But there is a wave of waves. Yeah, there is an unfolding of unfoldings. There is a paradigm of paradigms that's breaking on this planet. There is an ushering in that the ages have prepared themselves for. It's not the end of one age. It's the end of ages. And the beginning of ages that we're standing at this crest, this moment in time. However, in order for you to participate in this great unfolding of awareness and consciousness, you had to locate yourself in time and space in a particular paradigm that was yours, and you both, whether you thought it was your creation or not, you partook in it, blamed it on somebody else, blamed it on your mother, your father, your uncle, God, the devil, somebody, but you found yourself in an impossible situation. Hello. Anybody here in an impossible situation? Yes. Wonderful to be thankful for impossibilities. They're the only place where you can do the impossible. Everything else is possible. You don't want to do the possible. The possible's already been done many times over. It's the impossible that wants to be done. The things that go beyond the limitations of three-dimensional consciousness and goes beyond what man can think. A breakthrough of the paradigm. You came for that. You didn't come to improve the world. You didn't come to fix the world. You didn't come to make it a better place. You came to use the world, the three-dimensional world. You came to use it to make a breakthrough of unparalleled proportion. Hallelujah. Come with me now. I will show you how. Oh, many await for thee to make a breakthrough. Come on, let's make breakthrough. Now, this is the three-dimensional circumstances of your life that are the opportunity. There's nothing wrong. The fact that there's something wrong is what makes it right. The fact that there's something that seems out of kilter is what makes it what it's supposed to be. Everything is perfectly exactly the way it was meant to be in the beginning. Because this is a world of reflections. This world is not a world of realities, it's a world of reflections. And the reflections are perfectly reflecting what they're supposed to be reflecting, so you can really see it and emotionally experience it and say no to it. Hello. Whoa. And then say no to it. craftsmanship of it. Ah, get comfortable. Don't struggle against the world that is any more than you do when you learn to swim, right? Learning to swim is how to get the clear water to carry you. It really wants to carry you. The water really wants to lift you. It's your fear of it that makes you struggle to stay above it. But really, most people, I don't know, I've got more bones than most. So most people can just lay in the water and just be submerged, keep your nose above water and breathe. The water wants to hold you. Life wants to bring you joy and perfection. The source itself wants to. It's all geared perfectly for your benefit, your improvement, for your becoming. Everything is set up from the beginning for you, for all that you can become. Hallelujah. That's the paradigm. Leaving the old paradigm. What's the old paradigm? Why do you want to leave it? If you want to leave the old paradigm because it's so bad, then you'll take it with you. That pastor that didn't treat me right, he will hound you. In fact, if you don't learn to understand why he beat on you, you'll even become a pastor, and then you'll do everything that was done to you to somebody else until you understand that the pastor wasn't anything wrong at all. He was just serving a higher purpose that he didn't understand. Yeah. Yeah, that's an awakening. Whoa, that's the way to get thankful. It's easy to get thankful when you see not just that they meant it for evil, but the fact that it was meant for evil in a higher paradigm was created for your good. And that even they had to volunteer for that service for you. Whoa. That's awakening time, isn't it? All those things that were so hard to forgive. It's just that your ego nature wanted to sort of savor this feeling of being a victim. It sort of likes it. I don't know why. It's a kind of a disease of some kind that we've attracted to ourselves, that we like to be pitied. And when the source runs out and the reason for being pitied is fixed, you'll go attract another one. Find something else that you can be pitied for because you want to be pitied so greatly. Why? Why? Because, and even that is not something there's anything wrong with you. Remember, bottom line, first statement, final statement, last statement, in the middle, beginning of the book, in the middle of the book, and the end of the book, there is nothing wrong with you now and there never ever has been. Number one conclusion that you can't receive and I can't receive. I can't receive it any more than you could, but I can say it. And I know it to be the eternal truth of my being. There never ever was, nor will there ever be, been anything wrong with me of any kind. Everything's perfect and wonderful. Well, let me think. Now let me make the list of what I think is wrong with me. I can think of a few things I'd like to change. Yeah, I'd like to do some behavior modification on myself. Sure, I do, and I'd like to make some behavior modification on some of the folks around me. Give me the power of God. Yeah, right? No, I wasn't looking at you. I was enjoying you. Behavior modification. You can ask for behavior modification without jumping to the conclusion that there's something wrong with you. In fact, God looks at you, and if you sort of personalize God a little bit, make him something different than yourself. Think of him something more and bigger than yourself. He looks at you and he sees all those seeming imperfections. He says, whoa, perfect opportunity time. This is what I wanted. I wanted something that was incomplete and thought of itself as incomplete even though there's nothing wrong with it. So, if the propelling energy of your ministry is to fix things, you're going to come to a sudden grinding death. It's going to really end. You'll be so thankful for the Salvation Army. You never ever believed you could be so thankful for it, because they genuinely, purposefully go out and they care for people every day, all day long. And I can't do it. Not given to me anymore. Not that I don't care for that which comes in my space. Yes, when there's mercy to be given, I give mercy. When there's love to be given, I mercy freely and gladly. But I don't do it to fix anything, because there's nothing needs fixing. But there's a great urgent intent and longing to be understood. There is a great passionate longing for understanding to come, for awareness to be birthed. Where does that come from? God knows everything, sees everything, understands everything. No, he does not. Sorry. No, the longing in the source itself is to know its own being. And he's transferred that into you. You become, by your separation, you become perfect opportunity for God to know himself in you, to experience himself in you, to feel himself in you, to experience paradigms that he can't have without you. It is impossible for him to think in any way, shape, or form that he would be unlovely. There's no way for him to think even for a moment that he would be undesirable. And the most desirable, wonderful, perfect feeling of feeling undesirable you've created for him. And in the knowing of your imperfection, you look at him and you say, how can you, so perfect and so beautiful and so wonderful, how can you love this that's so despicable and so desirable? I don't understand. How can you love me like this? I'm so thankful that you would love me. And love became something it could never be without you. Love understood mercy. Love understood forgiveness. Love understood the longing to know itself and to give itself to something that needed it. You became the need for God that he needed to become all that his love could possibly be. Hallelujah. How wonderful. And the most wonderful thing is where we can begin to talk about it. We begin to feel it. I can feel the pain around me, and it's so wonderful. Annie was sharing with us this morning about her journeys in Africa when she was right in the middle of a civil war, and she's riding on a bus with young boys, 17, 18-year-old boys without limbs and arms, and she's got right in God's face. She said, oh, God, you do something. You know, she felt the pain. She didn't shut out the pain around her, but she made a demand out of that pain for there to be a change. And sometime later, mind if I tell? Went up. She was in this line, in this healing line, and God says, go in the line. He says, I don't want to go in the light. I don't need anything. Just go in the light. I don't want to go in the light. All right, three times in a row. Go in the light. Says, so you stood before us. What's his name?
Artist Shamba.
Shamba. Right. And he looked at you, and he said, what do you say?
Arms and legs are going to rain down
from heaven. Arms and legs are going to rain down from heaven. What does it say? What does it mean? The need is going to be met. I created the need so that the need could be met. Hallelujah. I am the need, and I am the meeting of the need. I am the completeness of it all. See? Hallelujah. What a wonderful day we're living in. What an awesome day. We're living in a day when we can understand, we can know. John the Baptist stood on the cusp of the age of Aries and the age of Pisces. And on the scene came Jesus, and he said, take a look. King James says, behold. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Now, it was impossible for us to understand that. There's no way for us to understand that. Because the thing that became our great agony and pain, our sin, We desperately wanted to be cleansed from sin, because for us, sin stood between us and the longing of our soul and to have oneness with our Father. We understood that much about sin. We understood that sin had trapped us. And we blamed sin. And we thought that if this sin only would be removed from us, then we would be cleansed and then we would have oneness with our soul. And then this one came who would take all sin. What an imagination that became for us. Whoa, all sin will be gone and the world will be clean and perfect, antiseptic, just like the doctors want to make everything antiseptically clean. They want to kill all the bacteria, get rid of all the bacteria in the world, and there wouldn't be any disease. And neither would you be here either. All those bacteria in your colon that are keeping you alive every day, that are digesting your food, they're helping you see, they're helping you walk, all those bacteria be gone, you wouldn't be here either. So it's not about getting rid of the bacteria in the world. It's not about killing bacteria. Disease. That's a philosophy. It's a theory of disease. Disease is the opportunity for manifestation. Sin enables you to create a paradigm where you can see what you need for your evolution. Sin is your wonderful companion that you just don't want to be too close to. But sin is the evolutionary driver of consciousness. Sin is the thought in you that began when you thought, well, maybe I can't be everything that God wants me to be. You're the one that created that thought. God didn't put it in your mind. No devil put it in your mind. Some devils came along and helped you make it grow really, really big. But you were the originator in your own mind of the thought that maybe the thing that God created you for, you wouldn't be able to do. Hello, you still got a thought like that? Yeah, I do. Yeah, and I married that thought. And I'm okay with it. And I'm okay with the thought that I can't come to Orlando and be everything you need to be. I'm okay with that thought. Because I don't need to be that all by myself. It's not about my performance. It's not about whether I meet the qualifications. It's not about whether I'm good enough. It's better or not I will open the paradigm. It's better or not I will cause and allow the flow of all of the source in me. I have free access of my being and my wholeness. That's what it's about. Sin serves me well. The thoughts of sin, the feelings of disappointment I've had, the times when I've failed, the thought when I couldn't meet the need, when I couldn't be there for somebody. I'm okay with those experiences because I realize all those experiences are the lies of my mind that I need for the progress on my evolutionary path, but none of them is what I am. I am none of those. Hallelujah. I am that Mr. Living Word speaks in me to be. I am His portal for creation. I am the doorway through which He can touch every man. I'm the opening for life and light, but all men shall be made whole. And every man shall come unto Him through me. Hallelujah. I am the Christ of God with you. With you, I am the Christ of God. Hallelujah. And I embrace the journey of my existence. I'm thankful for every bit and every moment of it. God, help me tomorrow morning when I got to live that out.
Right.
Well, I can say it. You're here to help me say it, right? We can say it. We can create a paradigm. We can create a new dimension in time. We can break a whole new way of thinking into this planet. We can remove the thought that you need to struggle for your survival and your becoming. We can remove the thought that there's something wrong with you that can never really be fixed. But God is such a loving, merciful God that He'll finally make room for you somewhere in the back corner on His 40 acres where you too can have room because He's such a merciful God. That thought can be removed from the consciousness of man that's done His purpose, done His service well. There's no need to be anymore. Man can awaken. Man can realize. He can know that He is the divine substance of the eternal source Himself. He's nothing separate from God, nor has He ever been. He is the source itself, creating a manifestation for Himself and through Himself, so that all can know the power and the love that the source is. Hallelujah. It's time for a new dimension in time. It's time. There's nothing wrong with the old. The old has served its purpose. But you don't need to fight against it. Let them have it. Keith, just let them have it, whatever. Because they'll too get tired of working it out. It ain't going to work. It's done its purpose. So John the Baptist stood on the cusp of Aries and Pisces. And he said, the one that comes after me, I'm not worthy to unloose him. The one that comes after me is preferred before me. And then John said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Now, if you notice, in the Old Testament, the priest would lay his hands on the head of a little goat, and he'd lay all the things that the people couldn't bear on that little goat. Right? And the one little goat went off in the wilderness, and the other little goat was killed, you know. But the reason it was laid on him, on the little goat, is because they couldn't bear it. Right? They couldn't make it their own. They needed a lamb. They needed something so they could get up the next morning and go back to work. Right? And do the thing they needed to do. And he says, take this one. If you want to understand how the Father feels and thinks, then you look at this man and watch his life unfold. Watch not only how he lives, but watch especially how he dies. And you will be empowered to understand something that you could never, ever understand in any other way. Right? He said, now that lamb that you're watching in him, he's not that lamb. He's showing you the lamb. That's why you need to look at him. When you look at him, you're going to see the lamb. But you're going to see it by looking at him because he's not that lamb. That lamb was before he ever came. That lamb's from the foundation of the world. That lamb is something, an idea, and a thought in the heart of the Father. The Father felt a certain way about you before he sent you on the journey. And Benjamin went there last night. Did you go with him? Annie went and put her hands on the back. And he went there, and he said it. Did you hear him say it? He said the mind and the heart of the source, he expressed it. He said it in words. And he said it this way. He says, I experienced it this way. I was standing on a balcony. I saw this huge maple tree. And the wind came and picked up all the keys, all the seeds. Like a great swarm, they went into the sky, darkened the sky. There were so many of them, thousands and thousands. And some of them went on the wind on a long journey, and some of them just went on a short journey, but it all went on the journey, and I could feel something happen in me emotionally. That's why I say you need your emotional body, because guess what? All the past is with you. Mm-hmm. It's in the present. It's manifesting itself all the time to be understood and to be seen. Everything that is created out of that which already exists, and it's making itself known in this three-dimensional world. And for me, I needed to see that maple tree. And I needed to see all those seeds. And then I felt the tree. Oh, does the tree feel things? I don't know, but I felt the tree. And I felt the intense love that this tree had for those seeds. Well, you know what I'm talking about. But the tree was used to trigger my memory. It created an emotional opportunity for me, my eternal being, to remember something in this form world. Something happened in the form world. The form world showed a tree with millions and billions, thousands of seeds at least. It seems like many more of them. But the form world created a trigger opportunity for me to go through my emotional body and remember something. And I'm promising you my eternal spirit. Spirit being that knows all things wanted to come into this form world and have that emotional experience. There's the trick. There's the key. That eternal being of yours that's unlimited, that knows all things, that can go into the non-form worlds and remember everything and see beautiful. And just ask some people. There's probably people here have done that. You can read about it in books. That being that you are, that's so perfect, so beautiful, wanted to come in the limitations of this imperfect three-dimensional world and be in a body that had sin and imperfection because it wanted to create an emotional experience to understand something it couldn't understand in the non-form worlds. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
knock, knock. Create a new paradigm. Create a new dimension in time. We're creating a new understanding in the heart of man. We're opening the portals of his understanding to realize that this is not a place where he ended up because of somebody's mistake, not his own nor somebody else's. It's not some error comedy that we're in. It's a purposefully designed illusionary experience to create understanding and truth. Hallelujah. And you're prime participants. You're prime movers. You're the one that's going to help to make the show go on. There are many, many that are learning to experience the wave, the flow in the three-dimensional world, to create for themselves experiences. Beautiful video out, The Secret. Many, many people benefit. But you didn't come to learn that secret. You came here to participate in the form world and regain the consciousness of your greater awareness and to move the show on into the next phase. That's why you came. Yes. Enjoy the secret. Enjoy all that you're being. But I promise you, what you are isn't found in a book somewhere. Not a book that was written or that's being written. The only place where the discovery of your secret is found in the writing of your own pages. And if you will treasure your own pages beyond the page that's written on black and white books, if you will treasure the pages of your book, you will read and find out who you are.
Yes.
And you'll join. You will join a company of beings of light. You're not going to be looking for somebody else to become an avatar. You'll know that you are the thing that you came here to be. And you'll have a company, you'll have a man called Jesus who feels your very, very emotion, your very heart, who's been here, who's occupied a body, who understands what it feels to be alone, who understands and knows what it's like to be loved, who knows what it's like to be betrayed and to be forsaken and to be rejected. And he'll come to you and he'll just whisper to you and he'll say, it's okay, just sweetly, just carry across my brother, just like I did. And become my companion! Hallelujah. Become my companion. It became so real for us. A couple of weeks ago or a week ago, we were somewhere up in Jacksonville. The Spirit just made that real, his invitation to us that we could become his companions in this hour. And Barbara and Carolyn and I experienced that some years ago. And Jesus just came to us. He came to Barbara in one way, came to Carolyn in another way, came to me in another way. And he was there, and he began to talk through his verbs, and he said to Karen, he said, I have lain with you. What does he mean? What's lain? Well, I've infused my being in you. I caused you to participate in consciousness with me. I don't think he was talking about this form world. I think he was talking about the non-form world. He says, we had intercourse of light together. And out of our love, we created something. And now, we've agreed to come and to fulfill the paradigm, to walk it out. Remember me. Remember your love for me. I've always been with you. See, and you can't expect. Keith, they're not all going to remember that. Because it's not in their memory. For some of them, you're going to have to be that Jesus. That Jesus ain't going to come to them like it came to you. You're going to have to be that Jesus for them. But don't you deny, if he wants to come to you, don't deny him. Right? Hallelujah. So he said, behold the Lamb that taketh away the sin of the world. And what he was saying is, you can see in this man most perfectly, more than any other, more than in those little old lambs you've been killing for 1,500 years and never really did anything for you anyway. That was a picture of the Lamb. And it might be in your own daughter that died so that you might live, or a husband that came only for a moment in time to show you something. It's the Lamb of God came in your life many, many thousands of ways throughout the ages of time. The Lamb has appeared and is continuing to appear to take away the sin of man. But this one will show you the Lamb like you never, ever believed you could see the Lamb. This one came for the specific purpose of showing the Lamb. Right? And that Lamb is a thought in me, an awareness in me, like that tree for those seeds, an intense love. And the trends, and the love says this. The love says, I impart and I give to you everything that you need for the journey of unfolding consciousness. Anything that you will ever need on this long journey of your becoming, I freely give it now. You'll never have to ask for a thing, for I provide all things for the journey from the beginning. I become the underwriter. I become the provider. I become the guarantee of your existence and your journey. No man will ever take my place. I am your source. Yeah, I heard it. I heard it through Benjamin last night. He couldn't have done that. He just got connected. So we could feel the heart of the Father for us. Because I tell you, I promise you something. As you awaken in this moment, you will realize, and Annie also has been telling us this too, she went to Africa, she did impossible things, walked in impossible places. And the only reason she could see and do what she did was because she knew she had been sent. Doors opened that couldn't open. People, generals, armies, just whole shifts happened in front of her eyes. Because she intensely was aware and knew that she'd been sent. And that's the thing that'll open your world for you. It's the thing that'll open your world wherever you go. You say, okay, Father, you sent me. How are you going to know that he sent you? How are you going to find that out? Well, somebody will come and prophesy. Yea, my son, surely I have sent thee. Ain't going to do it. Well, I'm not saying it's not good. It is good. It'll trigger the thought in you. You'll say, whoa, you sent me. Somebody else come to you and say, even as I sent Jesus, so have I sent you. When her relatives, friends, close companions said, don't go with that guy. You're going to throw your life away? The Lord came and said to her, even as I've sent Jesus, so have I sent. Well, what that gave her the courage to walk out her path, but it didn't do it. You're going to have to go deep within and ask for a memory trigger. You're going to have to ask, Father, you show me. I want to remember. I want to remember how I felt when I first came out of you. I want to know it from you yourself. I want to feel it in my soul. I want to know it for real. Hallelujah. And it'll happen to you. It does. It's happening. If I had this happening, you wouldn't be in this room. You wouldn't be at this ground. You'd be somewhere pulling carrots or something. I don't know. Isn't it wonderful how God does what he does? Hallelujah. There's a desire. John stood on the cusp of the age of Aries, the age of Pisces, and he had to say, well, this one that's coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latch I'm not worthy to unloose. And John subsequently was beheaded because John held the consciousness of that age that was passing. It had to be severed. That head had to be cut off. Jesus never went out of his way. He said, John wants to know, are you the one? He says, well, tell him. Tell him that the deaf are healed and the blind see. Everything you believe about me is true. You too are standing on the cusp of an age. It's not the age of Aries and the age of Pisces, the age of Pisces and the age of Aquarius. You're standing on the cusp.
Yes.
But you're not standing here in order to say that's coming after me is preferred before me. That's not the words of your soul and your language. You haven't come to denounce anything.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You'll find yourself denouncing. You're saying, well, that isn't it. And I don't want to be part of that. And I don't want to be doing this anymore. Yeah, you'll do that to free yourself. But you didn't come to free yourself from that. You need to be freed from that, but you didn't come there. You came to participate in an unfolding. And this is the image that Jesus left for us to understand. That's what he said. He says, now you go to the city. And when you come to the city, you'll see a man bearing a pitcher of water. And you follow him into the house. Follow him into the house. The man bearing a pitcher of water is the man in the heavens, the Son of Man, the sight of the Son of Man in heaven is the age of Aquarius. It's the man bearing a pitcher of water, pouring it out, right? And he says, then you see the sign of the man, follow him into the house. This is for you. Follow him into the house. allow awareness to come in your soul that the age is shifting. The age is shifting. And believe, allow the thought in you and believe that you were come into this world for such a time as this. And you've probably created a few experiences in your life to help you realize that truth. A few experiences of rejection that made you say, Lord, why are they doing this to me? I didn't deserve this. I had their good in mind, but they treated me ill. And then the Lord, if he's gracious, he might say to him, to you, as he did to me, he said, you must needs be rejected of men. And then he said this, that you might know yourself approved of me. Well, what's the matter here? Lord, why can't you just tell me I approve of you? You know, like George Bush does or Hillary Clinton, they say, and I approve this message. Don't you love it? There's Obama. He's got his own way of doing it. He's got a little different line, but he basically says the same. I approve. Well, God, why couldn't you just tell me I approve of Roker? Right? Then maybe tell some of my friends, please. But no, he said, it's necessary for you to create a context for me to speak to you. And you need the feeling of rejection and unworth in order to understand that it's never ever can I do that to you. Never ever can I reject you from any part of myself. It is impossible for me to entertain any thought of imperfection or limitation concerning you. But you can't create the context unless you create that false reality of rejection first. You need to be betrayed. But the worst part of it is, you're going to be betrayed and you won't even know what's going on. You won't even realize that this is an opportunity for you to know that you're approved by the grand vizier of all viziers that wants to give you status and inauguration and commendation for your journey. You won't even know it. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to hold back for you somebody. And his special mission is going to be to come into the three-dimensional world and to show you an image that you cannot deny. I'm going to lay all that stuff on you that you can't understand and receive and you can't use for your good and you can't appropriate and you can't walk through it. And I'm going to lay it all on him. And the first thing you say, thank you, Jesus, got rid of all that. Thank you, Jesus, for getting rid of all this bad stuff. Now I can go to heaven. That's your first reaction, going to be that. But I guess what? I'm not going to let you cough out that easy. Now lots of people maybe will cough out that easy. But I'm not going to let you cough out that easy. I'm going to make you aware of something. And that the reason he came wasn't to do anything for you like that. He came that you might take responsibility for your own incarnation and for the unfolding of your consciousness. And that you might look at the wounds of your being and become thankful for them. You might see your woundedness in me and watch my gracious attitude towards my woundedness and my thanksgiving to my Father for being wounded. And you, my Lord, that the woundedness of your spirit is your opportunity for your becoming. Hello. Is it time for a new dimension to be created in time? I promise you it is. 2,000 years we've been waiting for the Son of Man to be revealed. Son of Man has languished 2,000 years and has waited on this moment in time for some to join him, become his companion, share his heart, share his mind, understand like he does. Know the Father's will and purpose for this planet. See the worlds that are becoming and unfolding and take your place in the hierarchies of life and become that that is meant to be for the unfolding of the age. That's why you've come. So you stand on the cusp. He said, follow him into the house. And then he said these words. It's like I call it like a living dream, or it's like a hologram created in time and space. A moment, a special holy moment for him and his disciples to locate the truth of the ages there in a moment of time. He says, I'm going to use this occasion to lock into time-space a paradigm that will be told as a story through the ages of, through the centuries of time, until understanding breaks. And then all at once, when they awaken, they'll have a strong confirmation of their truth. So he says, now you go on. And when you follow that one into the house, he will show you an upper room, a high place in consciousness. When you come to that place, then know that this is the place that you must prepare for me, for us. I need you to prepare a place for us. It's not me making a place for you. It's you making a place for us. Because you're the one in the body. You're the one in the flesh. You're the one that holds the little switch that Annie saw that turned the grid on. Is an incarnate reality. It's people who live in a physical body and know in full awareness that they are the divine substance precipitate in three-dimensional consciousness. You got to know that. And you got to create your own words. Your own Oral and Arlene, open your hearts. Let God talk to you in the night. Let him give you a dream, a vision. And whatever little thing or big thing he says to you, just do it. And you'll discover the meaning of your life. You'll know why you've been put together. God withholds no good thing from those that love him. You won't need to explain anything to anybody, or you don't need to explain anything to anybody. Just love and live. And believe that God will speak to you. Because guess what? Your daddy's on the other side. And he's saying, Oral, believe. Don't believe in the God that I knew. Don't believe in what I did. Believe that you can hear from God. Believe. See? Huh. Yeah. Isn't wonderful? Hallelujah. So we stand on the cusp of this age, and we have all previous ages. We have untold lessons. We've got great vista of understanding that came. We see the picture in the garden. I don't want to go into that because we'll be here another hour. What really happened in the garden? Just let me say this about it. Let me just say this to show you how there's a new paradigm being created in time. What did they learn? That must have been the reason. The reason for the garden experience must be what they learned. Well, what did they learn? It says, they were naked and they were not ashamed. Well, they learned something. They found out you could be naked and get ashamed. Boy, I never understood that before. Shame took on a whole other dimensional quality. Shame was precipitated in a way where it could be looked at, feel, touch, taste, and become powerfully effective. You brought it out of the three, out of the higher dimensional worlds. You created a paradigm here to understand something that came from way back in the beginning when you first entertained the thought that you might not be good enough for God. You're the one who created that thought. He let you have it. Because you needed to have that thought, or you couldn't be for him what he needed. He needed that very feeling in you that you weren't good enough. He paid the price for our teeth. He slayed a lamb. Who was the lamb he slayed? It was his own being. Out of his own source, he provided the energy for your journey, for all the lies that you needed to entertain. He paid the price for it all and walked with it all these centuries. And now comes the time you can join me and say, Dad, I'm getting to understand. You're a much greater lover than I ever thought. You didn't just love me because I'm despicable. You loved yourself enough to go through all this that you could know your own love. That's how great your love is for me. I'm a part of you. Oh, hey, you like the way, you might like the way you say it. You might not create your own way to say it. And it's easy to do. You shut your eyes and say, okay, God, talk to me. That's so easy to do. Tell me your love. I need to know your love. I need you like I never needed you before. I don't need you for my house, my wife, my car, my till. I need you to become what I am. I need to hear you in my soul. I want to feel you. I want to be alive. I want to remember where I came from. I want to remember who I am. I want to know you, Father. Hallelujah. I want to worship you, not because you're so wonderful, so good. I want to worship you because I'm a part of you. That's my worship. It's because I'm a part of you. I can't be anything else but a part of you. I am. You are what I am. I am what you are. Hallelujah. I found myself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I tell you what, you go to a charismatic church today. Join in their worship. sing their song, but feel what you feel. Let them feel what they feel. They feel what they need to feel. But when you say, there's a beautiful song that says, I need you more, oh, more than yesterday. I need you more, oh, more than words.
I need you more.
Ever before, I need you more than the air I breathe. What's the air you breathe? It's the very substance. More than the song I sing. More than my next heartbeat. More than anything. There's no way to say it. Use all the imagery, exhaust all the imagery in this world and the worlds that have been and the world you can't say it all. You need him because he's what you are. Can't exist without him. Can't know, can't feel, can't touch, can't speak. Hallelujah, I am who and what you are. And it's a great moment in the annals of time, a great moment in the history of mankind. We're standing at the cusp of this age and we're helping to create a place for Christ to come. See, he knew the first time he came that his disciples couldn't receive him. They slept. He says, well, finally, after the third time, he says, can't you wait one moment with me? He finally realized he couldn't. So he just said, sleep on. Well, he had to walk this alone. And you've been there where you had to walk it alone. But he walked it alone so we wouldn't have to walk it alone, together. He became that one. Nobody needs to do what he did. Nobody needs to be who he was. He came to do that. He came to open the paradigm on this planet. Maybe he'll send you to another planet. I don't know. That's all right with me. It's more than that. It's bigger. It's consciousness. It's not about planets. It's about consciousness. It's about becoming who you are. So you're standing on the cusp of the age of Aquarius. And he says, in that place, prepare a place for you. And guess how you're going to do it? You're going to do it by valuing this, by treasuring this. He says, the man found a treasure. It was hidden in the earth. And you've always read it, and I've read it. He went and dug it out and took it somewhere else. He doesn't say that. No. He loved the treasure so much, he says, how can I get in there? How can I participate in this treasure? How can I feel? How can I be there? He says, well, you're going to have to become just like them. You have to take on a body. You're going to have to incarnate. You're going to have to gird yourself. Somebody was speaking that analogy. He girded himself with a towel. And then he exposed his life, his seed life to them. He revealed his heart. On that Passover feast, Jesus showed them his heart. He says, I've got a vision. I have a dream, right? And what was his dream? His dream was that there would be on this planet a paradigm where the greatest serves the least. Him that is greatest among you. He says, I am greatest among you, and yet I bow down and I wash your feet. Well, I'm showing you, not so you could copy me and have a whole bunch of foot washing service. That's all right. Go ahead. I'm all right with the foot washing service. Whatever it takes. If you need that, let's do it. But what I want you to have an attitude. I want you to know that the greatest love you can ever find is to find a way to serve the whole and to give your life for the whole. I want you to discover that secret with me. You see, I'm putting it in place. It's not the time. The early church was not the time. I couldn't go there. It lived under the shadow of the cross. It had to resolve the issues of shame and guilt. It still had to understand the law. Even though the law was gone, they still didn't understand it. And they were rejoicing in the fact that it's not by works of law, but it's by grace. And we spent 2 years, 1,000 years, like Barbara says, rejoicing. It's time to move on, folks. We understand, yep, it's not by any works. It's by grace. Good, let's get it done. Let's get over. It's not the issue. The issue is that your eternal being is spirit and life and perfection.
Yes, yes.
Time to eat it, Joe. Time to eat it, Joe.
No more quick to my head, time to eat it.
Isn't it wonderful? Wonderful. So you're on the standing of the cusp, and he showed them in that moment of time, he showed them his kingdom. He showed them your kingdom. He caused you to remember why you came. You came for that. You were part of the planning committee. You said, yeah, let's go. We'll participate in humanity. And we will lay down our lives. We will become crucified not on a wooden stake. We'll be crucified on our flesh. We'll be crucified on the wood of our human experience, on our limitations. And we'll take the woundedness of man within ourselves. And we will show them by walking out of the tomb together. By walking out of the tomb, we'll show them the greater paradigms of existence that are available for all men. Yeah. We will open a new dimension in time. Did you love that little card? It's awesome to me. So. Well, it's been, I don't know, Keith, how this happened, but it was perfect. And we won't try to make any plans for tomorrow because we might just mess up something really good coming down the road. There's already a planning going on in spirit. I know that the hierarchies of light are looking down in here. They're participating with it. Whoa, this is something we wanted. This is really turning out just like we expected it might. He says, but I tell you what, we're available. You are available, aren't you? Not for repeating something. You're available for a new unfolding. Something that you're up there in Jacksonville, whatever's happening with you, I've got enough wind that there's something changing for you. I realize, well, it's not about getting out of the past. It's the unfolding of what's wanting to come for a long time. Those salmon that went up that, those ladders up that river, they've got full of expectancy. They've got a belly full of expectancy getting up that ladder and been doing this for a long time, struggling up against the stream. But they want to spawn this stuff. They want to release this glory. They want to, this knowing in the eternal realms of life and perfection. There's enough pain. Let the belly burst and let the life come and manifest in humanity. Hallelujah. Let it come. And our lives have been the breaking point. Our lives are the breaking point. We are the brokenness of God. We are the woundedness of God. And through it, in the wounds, there's the healing comes. We are the healing of mankind. Because we bore his woundedness. I'm releasing you. All right. Help me. Something really wonderful. And I'm sort of left brain kind of a guy, you know. But I've learned to be very... very intuitive. I learned the tree can talk to me, you know, because I let it happen. I let myself feel. I know that the experiences of Earth can be triggers for your eternal memory. It's one of the greatest secrets you can't go telling people, because only you need to know.
I'm releasing you from three-dimensionality. I'm reconnecting you to everything you are. To those beyond the veil, to your light body. I'm releasing you from time into eternity. I release myself from three-dimensionality. I reconnect myself to everything I am, to those beyond the veil, to my life body. I release myself from time into eternity.
I don't want to go anywhere, Barbara. I stay right here with you in the flesh, right here, Indianapolis, wherever it takes. But I want to be released from time consciousness. I want to be released from the prison of three-dimensional thinking. I want to be released from the prison to think that that's what I am. But I need to know that an experience I'm creating. I'm empowered. I'm not the victim, and neither are you. Thank you, Keith, for inviting us. It's been wonderful.